Exodus, the 34th chapter and the 34th verse. And so we'll jump right into our Sunday school lesson this morning. But it says, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out to speak unto the children of Israel, that which he was commanded, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. It was light. There was light coming out of it. We started this series last week that it was light. And as the glory faded, it was a very scary thing. It was unique. It wasn't just light shining. It wasn't just something that was glorious or holy. It became something that became, the theologians believe that it was a little bit disturbing. And what was happening with it and the way the wording of the Bible states that things that light would might be just shooting out in one place and then out of another, and it might have not but just things that it was just very disturbing, and so they covered it up. So Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went back in with him. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, it says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. So, Lord, we ask you this morning that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would talk to us this morning about the veils that we wear, that you would talk to us this morning, oh God, about allowing your spirit to move and flow through us. Lord, that you would remind us today, God, of the things that we need to put on and the things that we need to take off. Lord, if there are things that we have added to our lives over the past year, Lord, that this morning that you would deal with us, oh God, that you would convict us, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds, God, that there would be things that we would relinquish this morning, that your spirit could talk to us and that your spirit would move and flow in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Last week, we covered the subject of reputation without righteousness. We talked about how that as Moses, as human nature has it, when Moses came off of that mountain and the glory shined down upon him and he had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights, that he had been fasting and that he had sat there and he had wrote and he had been with God and chiseled out the second time how he chiseled out a lot of the Ten Commandments himself, and being there in the presence of God and experiencing the presence of God and being a part of the presence of God, that when he left that place, the glory of God was upon him. It shone upon him. It reflected upon his face. But as that glory faded, he began to cover his face with a veil. It was disturbing. It was people that were afraid. They didn't understand what was going on. He didn't probably fully understand what was going on. And so he covered himself with a veil. He made sure that his face was covered. And so we talked about last week that the Bible doesn't tell how long he wore the veil. He lived for 38 years after that experience that he had up on the mountain. But so we know that he didn't wear that veil for 38 years, but as human nature has it, I imagine that he wore that veil a little bit longer than the glory took to fade off of him. That there was something about it that the day that he walked out in front of everybody and he pulled that veil off of his head and they realized that the glory had completely faded away from him. That moment in time that they realized that one moment, that time that he had experienced with God had now gone away and it was different now, and that he was back to his old self, and that maybe they wouldn't respect him as much as they used to respect him. Maybe they wouldn't feel the same way about him. Maybe they wouldn't see him as the leader that they thought that he was, and that he had come down, that maybe that it was his fault that he wasn't the way that he used to be or didn't look the way that he used to look. Maybe that it was something that he did that caused the glory to fade. And so the thoughts of the human mind when you're in leadership, just thinking of trying to keep that reputation, keep that place, making sure that everything's where it's supposed to be, and did I handle that right? Are they okay? Did I say that right? Are they going to be okay with that? Did we handle, and making sure that everybody is dealt with and handled the right way? And so the thoughts that must have gone through his mind as he had that veil upon his head, and the day that he woke up and everything was gone, I wonder if he decided, I'm just going to wear it one more day. I'm just going to, maybe let's get through the week. Let's get through the month, and we'll figure out how to go from there, and we'll just ease people into it and whatnot. And so we do the same things in our own lives. We act and respond the same way, that we don't want people to get too close. We don't want people to see behind the veil. We don't want people to be able to see what's really going on in our lives. And so we do everything we can to try to cover it up. This morning I woke up. Dillard's had a sale a couple of weeks ago, and I bought a $100 shirt for $15, and I was excited about it, and I didn't have a shirt in that color, and I'd made up my mind I was going to wear it today, and had just the tie for it and everything, and I got in and I ironed it. And while I was ironing it, I realized I bought a shirt that was too small on the sleeves. And I was sick at myself, because the problem is I messed up so bad. I bought two of the same shirt at two separate times, and I took the one that fit back, and there's no going back and getting it because it's gone. And so I'm sitting there looking at it thinking, what in the world were you thinking, Pew? What is your problem? And I said, you know what? I bought it. I want to look good in it, and so I'm going to wear it today no matter what. So this morning I've got a shirt that's about an inch too short, but you would never know if I didn't tell you about it, because you can cover some stuff up with a nice jacket and a tie and everything else. And so we do things. We try to cover stuff up. We try to make sure that there's a veil that covers. There's something that, and if we say the right words and we talk the right way and we do the right stuff, then everything is okay, and nobody will know the whys, and that's just the way that it is. See, we've got to understand that information without application in our life is dangerous. Information without application. It's not enough to know what is right. We have to do what is right. It's not enough to be, it's not enough to know what Christianity is. It's not enough to know what we're supposed to do. It's not enough to know what is right and is wrong. It has to be something that is applied to our lives. It is something that we have to do. It is something that we have to engage in, and it's something that we have to put in our lives. So we have to understand that the danger of this is that not only can we fool a lot of the people around us if we keep people at distance. I get worried when I start watching people push people to a distance. I get worried when I see people that they begin to remove themselves, and they begin to keep everybody at hands distance, because as long as we keep everybody at a distance, then we can still keep the facade for a little while longer. We can keep everything going a little bit longer. But if somebody gets close to us, then they see the humanity, they see the faults, they see the slip ups, they see the weaknesses, they see the parts of us that don't always measure up. They see the times when the teeth grit and the eyes cut. They see the times that, and so we try to keep people at a distance so that we can keep the facade. But the problem is not only do we begin to fool the people around us, but we are in grave danger of beginning to fool ourselves. We can fool ourselves, and we are our own greatest enemy, that we can begin to fool ourselves to thinking that everything else is okay. If I can feel the presence of God, if I can show up to church, if I can be a part of church, if nobody else in church knows what's going on, if nobody, then we can begin to deceive ourselves that everything is okay in our lives. So we constantly have to be looking in the mirror, constantly have to be looking at ourselves and taking a good long look at our lives and how they line up with the Word of God. We read about David in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. And it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, this is David's first wife, looked through the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. David is excited. He's come in to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel this day, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. He said that it was God that chose me, and it was God that placed me here. God chose me to be king. And she says that, and we've talked about this before, that she says that he had uncovered himself in the day in the eyes of the handmaidens. And we read, when we read in verse 6, chapter 6 and 14, it says that he danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David was not completely uncovered. That word uncovered means that talks about being naked. It talks about being uncovered. But he was not completely uncovered. What he had done is he had laid down all of his royal robes. He had laid down everything that represented him as a king. He had taken off his crown. He had taken off everything that represented that he was something important or better than anybody else. And he wore just a simple linen ephod. He wasn't any different than anybody else. He brought himself down to a place where he looked and acted, and there was nothing different between him or anybody else. If a stranger walked up and they saw him standing in the crowd, there would not be any thought that this is the king of Israel. There is something in order for you to be able to get into the presence of God. You cannot wear and carry everything that you have into his presence. There are things in our lives that have to be removed. There are things in our lives that have to be taken off. We're quick to grab crowns and we're quick to grab royal robes, but in his presence, only he is king and only he is God. And so we've got to understand that there are some things that if we're going to know him, if we're going to have a relationship with him, if we're going to go to the places that bring peace, joy, and love, then there are some things that are going to have to be removed and some things that are added to our lives. It's Isaiah 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. A garment of praise, that's something. What is a garment? A garment is something that has to be put on. It has to be something that is worn. It has to be something that is placed upon us. That I'm going to let go of something that is heavy in my life to put on something that is going to praise and worship. Let go of something that weighs, something that is heavy, something that brings me down, and trade it for a garment. Something that God desires for me to wear, a garment of praise. They might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's Ephesians 4 and 22 that says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Put off. Put off. My wife is always upset with me about all the stuff I carry in my pockets. And she tells me that you have too much stuff in your pockets, and you've got to find a place to put all that stuff. You can't carry all of that. And I'm thinking, like, well, I need my lip ice because my lips get chapped, and I need the Visine for my eyes because my allergies are bad right now, and I need a pocket knife because every man better ought to carry a knife, and so I need my wallet and I need my phone, and I'm trying to eliminate the stuff that you put off. Some things we just don't have to have all the time, and take things and put them off. And so Paul's telling us in Ephesians, put off the former conversation of the old man. Put off the words that you say that are not glorifying God. Put off your negativity. Put off the language that you use and the things that go on, the talking or the saying things about others, which corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on. That there's some things that need to be put off and some things that need to be put on. To put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steals, steal no more. Here we go. If this was what you used to be, get it out of your life. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may be to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We have to understand the importance of the words that come out of our mouths. If all I see is negative and if all I speak is negative, my life is continually going to be negative. And so we've got to understand the Bible is constantly talking about things that edify, that it may minister grace unto hearers. We've got to understand that just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean that everybody needs to know about your bad day. Well, if I tell them my day's good, then I'm lying. Oh, well, I would rather be saying something good than saying something negative and something bad. You don't have to say that everything's going. You might just use, this is the one my dad likes. How are you doing? Just right. Well, what does just right mean? I don't know. Just right. Okay. I mean, I guess that's just right. He might be having a bad day, but just right. And we've got to understand that we can create and produce things just by the way we allow ourselves to constantly speak about things that are going on in our lives. So the next time somebody asks you what's going on in your life and you don't feel like you can tell them it's great, hunky-dory, and wonderful, just tell them just right. And you're not being negative, and you're not lying, and you're not it's just right. Everything's just right. But we've got to understand the power of which the things that come out of our mouths. And so that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, there we go again about speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and ye be one to us, says, and be kind one to another, tender hearted. Now we're putting things on. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You look at David's family, he had a lot of boys that were constantly reaching for the crown, constantly reaching for things that were not theirs, constantly wanting things that were not theirs. Gehazi, I wanted things that was not his. Samuel's boys were willing to take on titles but not live in a way and to live and be what God had called them to be. They were willing to put things on that they shouldn't put on, but they weren't willing to let things go out of their lives. It's 1 Corinthians 15 and 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortal. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible, and the mortal shall put on the immortal, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Something has to be taken off. Something has to be put on. Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt up with truth. We're talking about putting stuff on. I know that I've covered this subject here a few months ago, but I'm feeling it again this morning, that there's some things that have to be put on, that if you're going to make it through your situation, it's not going to be because you just showed up on a Sunday morning. If you're going to be able to be victorious, it's not going to be because you just got prettied up and showed up on a Sunday morning. There are things that we have to do when we walk out these doors and we're all by ourselves in our homes. There are things in our lives that have to be put on in our lives. There are things in our lives that have to be added to us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt up about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That when they begin to get ready for battle, it is not easy. It's not just running and throwing on a pair of wind pants and a t-shirt. There were parts of it. There was work. There were things that had to be put on, things that had to be strapped and buckled. And they had to have other people that get involved to make sure that they were ready to go to battle. And we can't just do it by ourselves. And we can't just walk out with nothing. The Bible says there are things that we have to have in our lives, things that we have to put on in our lives. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's a lot of putting on. That's your Bible. That's the Word of God talking to us about there's got to be some changes in our lives. There's got to be some things that have to be taken off. David couldn't just dance before God and celebrate. He understood there's some things I've got to take off. There's some things that I can't wear my royal robes. I can't wear my crown. I can't get into his presence when it's all about me and I'm high and lifted up. I want to be what God wants me to be. It's James 1:19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're dealing a lot about anger. We're dealing a lot about words today. We're dealing a lot about people speaking and the way that we talk and the things that we say. Slow to anger and slow to wrath. That we've got to be careful with that. For wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. That when you're angry, there's no righteousness there. God's not working in your wrath. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Put the word of God inside of you, which is able to save your souls. We live in a world that has a lot of opinions, but we don't put the word inside of us. We have a lot of opinions of what we think about stuff and what they think about it and how we think about it and how we feel about it. But the word is the only thing that can save our soul, because it says this in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. This morning I looked in the mirror, get a good idea of what's going on, and then if I walk away from the mirror and I completely forget what I look like, I completely forget what was going on, completely forget what was happening, then what have I accomplished? What have I done? What is going on? And then this is what the Bible's saying. I come to church and God speaks to me about who I am. He speaks to me about what I need to change. He speaks to me about what's going on in my life. And then the moment I leave church, I do nothing about what God's been speaking to me. He said it's like just looking into the mirror and walking away and forgetting what you really look like. We have an idea of what we look like, but we don't really know what we look like. He said, you've got to come and you've got to get into my presence and you've got to allow me to speak to you and you've got to allow my word to speak to you. How's God going to speak to you if you're not in his word, if his word can't speak into your life? And so he begins to talk to them about beholding in the glass. And then he goes on to a second man, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. He forgot. He forgot what he looked like. He forgot who he was. He forgot what God was dealing with him about. He just came, he was told, and then he walked away from it. He heard about it, but he didn't do anything with it. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty This is a second man. Looks into the same mirror. Looks into the same place. It says, and whoever is the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He looks into it and he sees the faults and he allows God to speak to him. He allows God to deal with him. And I love this, the perfect law of liberty, because when we say the word liberty, we think of like freedom and that we can do whatever we want to do. And that but liberty is liberty in the confines of the rules that are around us. I have liberties in the United States of America that are greater than most countries around the world, but it doesn't mean that there are no rules upon my life. I still have to obey the speed limit. I still have to obey the laws of the land. I still have to pay my taxes every year. And so there's liberty, but there are restrictions to the liberty that is in my life. And so this man looks into the perfect law of liberty and understands where he's at and continueth therein. And being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. He said, I'll bless the man that shows up, reads the word of God and says, okay, God, I need to work on that. I need to have that in my life. As somebody that in church, in a worship service or in a sermon, God reaches down and taps us on the shoulder and deals with us about something, or we leave and we ask God, what do I need to work on? We make the statement, well, God doesn't speak to me. Ask him what you need to change. He will speak to you. And so when we leave and we know that there are things in our lives that need to be worked on, but we just don't quite work on them. It says we're like a person looking into the mirror and we walk away and we do nothing with what we've been given. If a man, verse 26, if a man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Oh, man, we're back to the tongue again. If he seems to be religious and he can't control his mouth or his words, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. In vain. My Lord, I don't want to do any of what I do in vain. I don't want to live the life that I give in vain. I don't want to do the things that God has called me to in vain. I want to do it right. It says, verse 27, pure religion is undefiled before God, and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. To look into that mirror and say, God, what do I need to change? What's in my life? What's going on here? God, I've been wearing a veil. I've been able to cover some things up. I've been able to keep people at a distance in my life. And so therefore, I've been able to keep everybody believing that everything's all right. But God, I want to be what I need to be. I want to unveil myself, God. I want to put myself on an altar that you can change me, God, and that you can make me into the person that you desire for me to be. When we spend time in God's word and it does not stop us short and calls us to look into ourselves, then we begin to damage our relationship with him. We've got to understand that when we hear and we know that there are things that we've got to do and we make up our minds that I'm not changing them, it begins to affect the relationship that we have with him. Romans 10 and 17 says, so when faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Luke 6:47, whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which build an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it and was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is likened unto a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There's a man by the name of Joe Emerson. Joe Emerson was one of the most famous Christian radio talk show hosts here right after World War II. He started a radio program in 1934, so that had been before World War II. He went and had one of the largest radio programs in the United States. He had anywhere between 18 and 20 million people that would listen to him on a weekly basis. The name of the radio program was Hymns of All Churches. And so every week, 18 to 20 million people could listen in and hear as they would sing hymns and on his radio program. And he was touted all over the world, all over the country. And he would go and he would speak and speak in churches. And he had a following and great influence. And he said the saddest thing of all is that for years he sang these songs. For years, he played these songs. For years, he was involved in churches. For years, he kept the facade. He was a deacon in his organization and all of these things. He said, but I really never allowed the Word of God to change me or to work on me. He said, I would speak, but it was just things to say. I would get on the radio, but in my off time, I was not the man that I portrayed when I was on the radio. All of these people that he influenced, all of these things that he did, but he admits as he got closer to the end of his life that he wasn't everything that he should have been. The things that he regretted is that he didn't allow God to work on him. The impact that he could have really made on this earth if he would have been somebody that was looking in the mirror and walking away and being able to portray what God was doing and had a relationship with God. And it wasn't just something that he did. It wasn't just something that was a part of his life, but it was something that he embraced, and he became what it was that he really believed. Romans 13 and 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or an envying. Let us put on. Somewhere along the way, we've got to understand that we can't there are some things in our life that has to be removed out of our lives. That there are some things that we just can't carry and keep carrying. That there's information that God has given us, that there are things that God, that we have. And with information without application is a waste. There are going to be a lot of people that are not going to be saved because they had information, but they never applied that information. You've got to pick up your Bible, and if it's just taking 10 scriptures a day, reading those 10 scriptures and saying, God, how can I apply these to my life? You would be better off than reading 10 chapters a day and not applying anything to your life. You've got to find ways to apply the Word of God to your life. Let God work on you. Let God change your attitude. Let God change the way that you speak. Let God change the way that you think. Let God change the way that you do business. Let God change the way that you act and the things that you do in your world. Because we can't just know about it. We have to apply it to our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your Spirit would move and flow. Lord, that we would apply, God. Lord, the things that you're dealing with us about, God. Lord, that it would not just be a facade, that it would not just be a mask that we wear, that it would not just be a veil that we place upon our heads, but Lord, that there would be a hunger, God, for pure religion, that there would be a hunger, God, for a pure relationship with you, that there would be a hunger, God, that who we are at home is who we are in public, God, that we would be what you've called us to be, oh God, that Lord, that your light would shine through us, oh God, and that your will and your way would be done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.